The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 66th chapter. We begin reading at verse 18. For I know their works and their thoughts. And the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues. And they shall come and shall see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and from them I will send survivors to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, who draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands afar off that have not heard my fame or seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the nations. And they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots and in litters, and on mules and on dromedaries, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord, some of them also I will take for priests and for Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship me, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the letter to the Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted it to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. By it, many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy, like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. They could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I tremble with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, mediator of a new covenant, to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 22. Jesus went on his way through the towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, you workers of evil.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, some are first who will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." This is our text. With retirement drawing ever so near, last June about, I determined that so I could look really good when I retire, I'd take off about 10 to 15 pounds. Didn't happen. Instead, I might have put on 2 or 3. I wanted, if you will, to be able to get through a narrower door. But it's hard. My brother-in-law is going to be here. A couple of years ago, he made some life changes. He's lost 30, 40, I don't know, maybe 50 pounds, and he's kept it off. How'd he do it? Well, his thinking became more narrow, especially when he goes to the grocery store. Have you noticed how in the last 50 years how much wider the grocery stores have become? They're huge in comparison to 50, 60 years ago. But the key, he said, is ignoring all that wide area and sticking to a very narrow path as you go shopping in the store. You start in the produce aisle, it's right around the rim, and then you go to the meat aisle and the dairy aisle, and then you go out the door. And if you stick to that narrow path, you end up buying stuff that's really good for you. It's that wide area that kills you. You know, they got one whole aisle just for candy. And they got like 50,000 different types of candy. They even put displays on the end. And the purpose of those, they call them end caps. I learned this from my wife. The purpose of them is to draw you down that aisle by presenting you with something that looks really, really good. The problem is, as I think we all know, while it looks good and it tastes good, it isn't good for you. And then there's another wide aisle full of chips. And they got all kinds of chips, Fritos, potato chips. You know, when I was young, there was just one flavor of potato chip. Now they got like 20 different flavors just of potato chips. They taste really good. They're not good for you, though. And then there's another starch aisle, you know, it's the cereal aisle, and they got like 50,000 different types of cereals. And it all tastes really, really good. And it is so hard going into the store and not turning down one of those other aisles and just sticking to that narrow path around the outside of the store. You know it would be better for you. You'd feel so much better about your life. And I'm sure most of you are probably like me. It's kind of hard to stick to that narrow way. And it would even help out in the house, you know. Anybody here have the same problem we have? You don't have enough cupboards for all the stuff that you bring home from the grocery store? And it would save trips into the kitchen. You know, you eat in a very narrow set of time slots. One little meal in the morning, one little meal in the afternoon, one little meal at night. And all those chips and all those candies and all those... Oh, ice cream. I forgot ice cream and pizza. That's another whole aisle. You know, in one sense, the grocery store makes it really easy for you to lose weight. It's got all the stuff you need there to eat properly. But the problem is, it's that human nature of us. We can't stick to the narrow way. We keep on getting drawn into the wide lane. That isn't good for us. But oh, it looks so good. You know, one of the clear teachings of Scripture that most people find actually horribly objectionable is that there's only one way of life that really is good for you. When you look at the world, and you know, you've heard me throughout my ministry quote you statistics upon statistics about the blessings that accrue to you when you live the life that God tells us to live in Scripture. When you look at what God calls sin and measure the effect that it has on the lives of people, it's always destructive. And the way of God is ultimately so simple. In terms of what are you supposed to do, it boils down to basically two rules. Well, that's not hard, is it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, you could broaden it out just a little bit if you want to. Put God first in your life. Take care of your family. Be active in your church. When you look at people who make those things their priorities in life, and then look at their joy, their peace, their happiness in life, it dwarfs the turmoil, the trouble, the pain, the sorrow that other ways of life bring. The way of God is incredibly simple. And yet, as Jesus explains in our gospel lesson for today, that narrow door is hard to enter. But it's not hard because God makes it hard. What is the essence of what God teaches us in Scripture? The essence of the gospel. And we'll be talking about it in class, Bible study this morning. What is of first importance? Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. That Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead. We could put it another way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The message of God to us is clear and simple, and it's for everyone in the world. He loves us, he forgives us, and if you believe that, you have eternal life. How much easier could that be? And yet, if you go into a Muslim country, for instance, not all, but many, in fact, most, and you openly start proclaiming that in the streets, you could be arrested and killed. It's also true in many communist nations. If you add to that the words that, you know, this is the only way we can be saved, even here in the United States, you'll have lots of people condemning you as some kind of religious racist. Well, the idea that your way is the only way. How harsh and horrible such speaking is. And after all, my ministry as a Missouri Synod Lutheran pastor, and even before then, when I was just in high school, and I'd speak about the simple gospel, the idea that God loved us so much that he gave his only son to die for us. And if you just believe that, you are saved eternally. Throughout all my life, people have said, well, that's kind of narrow-minded. That your way is the only way. But it is. And it's an incredibly easy way from God's point of view. Why is it then in Scripture described as a hard door to enter? Not because God makes it hard. Because the world, the devil, and yes, our own sinful flesh keep on calling to us to go some other path, to find some other door, telling us, like it is, you know, when you're walking through the grocery store, oh, this aisle, oh, it's so sweet. Come down this aisle. Feast and enjoy. Pizza and ice cream. Oh, it tastes so good. But you know, if we make that our life, it doesn't make our life better. And thus it is with sin. The world keeps calling to us. You know, don't be happy with the gender God gave you. Pick another one. They got one for every letter of the alphabet now. That's where you'll find your happiness. That's where you'll find your joy. That's what they say. But then when you look at the statistics, there are no groups of people with higher depression, suicide rates, and all kinds of other difficulties. And those who reject what God made them to be, to try to become something else. You know, the divorce rate in our culture is, well, actually it's going down a little bit because people just aren't getting married anymore. But yet, compared with previous world history, it's extraordinarily high. You know, there's been studies done on couples that are having real difficulties in life who elect to stay married versus couples having basically the same problems and issues who end up getting divorced. Would you be surprised to learn that the couples, same problems, same difficulties, that stay together 5 years later are happier than the couples that got divorced? Now, nobody tells you these things, yet it's true. The world wants to convince us that its wide variety of ways is where you're going to find life. And in many ways, if you don't agree with it, the world will punish you for believing otherwise. Yeah, from a worldly point of view, it's easier to choose the wide way. But as Jesus made clear in our gospel lesson for today, it's not the way that'll bring you life. Yes, God is narrow-minded. There is one way that works. And if you really dig into it and you look at all the other ways, what you'll find is they don't work. But while the world will make it hard for us to go on a narrow way, remember this. God has made the narrow way, the easiest way from his point of view. Salvation in his way is not something you have to work to achieve. He gives it to you. It's not something that's restricted to this group or to that group, to one nation or another. God has made the same gift of salvation free to anyone who accepts his gift of Jesus dying to pay for our sins, rising to have eternal life. It is a narrow way. But God grant that we always remain faithful to the gift God has given in Jesus, who opened that door for us, and ignore the calls to follow the wide way that leads to destruction. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.